it was a potentially great, grave situation. Everybody was excited. Not I'm excited, like, praise God, do Thanksgiving. My mother said she would do Thanksgiving at home. My mother-in-law said she would do Thanksgiving at home. Everybody wants to do Thanksgiving. I told you, you know why I'm not so excited? I said, people are excited because they think this is a one-off thing. I said, I'm not so excited because God has used this and something that happened about 4 days before that to prove to me I'm watching over you all the time. So that, for me, it was not a one-off thing. I suddenly realized that God is actually watching over me continually. So I'm giving him thanks. I'm not saying I didn't appreciate that, but I'm realizing that everywhere I move, he's there. Everywhere I go, he's there. He prepares my path. He prepares my ways. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? And I'm telling that that's the same thing about your life. Your life is not an accident. If that job was necessary for you, you would have gotten it. That's what I'm trying to explain. If it was necessary for you, you would have gotten it. You don't ever walk around looking as if you are disadvantaged. For what? I told you my story years ago. I finished my youth service in 1993. By many events, God moved me to Lagos. Now, I never wanted to go to Lagos. If you know the kind of person where I be, I'm a true prophet, according to Bishop Oyedepo. Now, that prophets always live, you know, quiet areas in the outskirts of the cities. So when they pam 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 ping ping pam 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 pam, it's not my life. Are you getting my point? So I didn't understand how people live in that kind of place, and God knew it was necessary for me to go there. So He moved me through many events to get me to be there. Along the line, I had to settle. So let me not bore you with too many details. But I told the story that once I came for my annual convention. And my friend Chooks, as I arrived at the convention venue, he said, "Hey, Black," that's what he calls me, from a distance, as soon as he saw me. He said, "I hear you are the only jobless doctor in Nigeria." Why did he say that? For many months, this young doctor didn't have to get a job. I'm telling you. I will try and work here, nothing. I will try and work here, nothing. I applied for residency, nurses went on strike. They also shut down for 8 good months or so. Hey. I remember one day there was a particular hospital, the MD interviewed me. He asked me a particular question with the part about making a diagnosis of for those of you who want to know, typhoid fever, all right? And the common practice which people do this, they just go and say, "Come and do tests, I have fever." They now say, your titer is high. Say, "You have typhoid." You know, it's all bother, that sharam nonsense. That thing is a lie. It's a scam that between the people who are doing the lab thing and the people sending the drugs, it's just a scam. All right? Around nonsense. So he just asked me that question. So I told him that, well, I didn't know why he asked. But I said, well, from where I come from, that's my school. I just quoted my lecturer that we're taught that this is not how it is done. If you had to do this, I gave him the proper thing that's supposed to be done. And he looked at me and said, "You must have gone to a good school." He was impressed because most young doctors have told him the crap that people practice. I gave him the right thing. The man was so impressed that everybody that came after him, they told the people that no, they've employed the doctor they needed. Except the day I came to start work, something happened, they changed their minds. Are you getting my point? I remember then, as I was leaving the place, I went with my cousin's car. As I was leaving, I remember very well. I looked out of the window and I said, "Lord, I hold you personally responsible for taking this job." That's what I said. I said, "Lord, I hold you personally responsible." I could see the hand of God say, "Banky, not now." And what did I do with the time? You've heard the story several times. All I did was read, listen to messages, read, listen to messages. That's all I did. I went from one conference to the other. That's when I tell you stories of Ron Kenoly. It was my moving around that I met Ron Kenoly, came to Lagos to come and preach. I went everywhere I saw a poster, I'll copy it down. I was JJC in Lagos. I went everywhere listening to the gospel. And believe me, that's the foundation of what I do till today. These days, I'm extremely busy. I look back, sometimes I'm afraid that, God, what if I had used Ogboju? It's in a lie. I claim it. I'm almost afraid. I did Bishop Oyedepo alone, I remember, I did over 500 hours of only him in about 8 months. And that was not the only person I listened to. I've not counted my Miles Monroe, the Kenneth Hagin, the other people I listened to that season. The books, that was my hobby. My mother once said that, your auntie said, that's my cousin actually. Yeah, she's more older than me. But your auntie said that you use all your money to buy tips. I said, I'm happy she said all my money, not all her money. It's my money. And then my sister said to her, but mommy, these things are cheap compared to the medicines I'm taking right now, because she was very sick that time. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? That this, it was that season. I look back now, then, you know, once in a while, I say, if that season had not occurred, believe me, you wouldn't be here today. Why am I saying? God knew that that season had to be. Everybody was getting job and making money. I remember one of my colleagues that time, he worked all his life to pay for one small little car. And I swore by Almighty God that I would never do it. There was one revelation Bishop Oyedepo gave that stuck in my head. That it can catch fire and thieves can steal it. So do not labor for that which perishes. Cars perish. Since then till now, I have not labored for one. All other things are added. Are you getting my point? Listen, that's how God sees you. So don't look at yourself as you are disadvantaged. No, your life is planned. God said to Jeremiah, before you were born, I knew you. I arranged you. Are you getting my next thing? It's when people depart from following God that problems begin. Do you follow what I'm saying? Listen, I'm telling you how God sees you, how God sees me. And we must look at life the way God sees us. That's what is called righteousness. Righteousness is not dancing in church. Any man can dance in church. Church these days is sometimes a glorified disco zone too. Yes, the music is good. And I found that in the soul of human beings, there's music. And there's rhythm. How do I know? Never seen small picking before. Who teaches them how to dance? When is that hearing to the game? So you dance in church does not mean anything. It just means you're alive. That's not righteousness. Giving of offering is not necessarily righteousness. If somebody pokes you and pricks you and moves you and shakes you, eventually the money will drop. That's not necessarily righteousness. Righteousness is what? A mindset. How do you reason? How do you think? That's how you exercise yourself in righteousness. Changing your own thought patterns for God's thought patterns. And first and foremost, like we began last week, it's about you. Are you getting my point? Listen to me. You were created for a purpose. That's what God is saying. That you are not an accident. You were created for a purpose. And when I was creating you, I packaged a particular grace. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. What is the grace of God? It's the power working towards me that does not prove in. In that it makes me effective in certain things that other people are not effective in. The major problem with life is that people want to be effective in other people's jobs. He said, my brothers made me keep their vineyard. My own vineyard I have not kept. God has a vineyard for every person to keep. You know, I was thinking the other day, when we'll talk about that later, about ministry matters. I discovered that what we call pastors these days is not even what the Bible calls pastors. Pastor today is an administrative position. No, in the Bible, it's a calling. He says the head of a church is a pastor. It's not in the Bible. An elder. Any elder can head the church. Any elder. Can be an apostle, can be a layman, can be anybody. When it's an elder that's skilled, are you getting my point? In the word of God, that's skilled in managing life. There's what he called, what I'm trying to bring out is that sometimes people say, because I'm a pastor, I must go inside the church and be the general overseer and the administrator. And they are not skilled in that. I was talking to a friend of mine a few days ago. He's a pastor, all right? Modern day pastor, you know? So a real pastor and a modern day pastor. You get my point? In the church. That the major problem most churches have is that the pastors are very poor administrators. Because they don't have the skill there. They're trying to excel in somebody else's job. They won't leave the job for somebody who is skilled in administration to do. And you go and give yourself the ministry of the word and prayer. Everybody has a skill. That's what I'm coming to. In business, the same thing. People are jumping up and down for that which makes money. For that which makes money. For that which makes money. I was discussing my wife a few days ago. I said, listen, whatever you want to do, money must not be the first. If I ask yourself, what do I really want to do? What do I really want to do? I was reading the book you gave me, Olayinka, Robert Kiyosaki talking, that his rich father told him, invest for cash flow, never for capital gains. And then capital gains was making him a lot of money. But he disciplined himself and turned around and did what his rich dad said. Over time, he understood why the man said it. All those who were going the other way suffered, but he did not suffer. Are you following the point I'm making? Listen, you have your skill. It may not be the time for your skill to manifest and be big. Now, you must never focus on bigness and you get my point. And their wealth, popularity. There are people who look and say, what's wrong with Nigeria young men? Eh? Can you imagine? Is it Gutenberg or Resenberg? What's the name of the guy on Facebook? Zuckerberg. Eh? That is only 25 years old or 21 years old or 26. I don't know his age. You too. I said, listen to me. I ain't writing Facebook for nobody. Are you getting my point? I'm going to preach the gospel of Christ. That's my job. If he makes a billion naira, doesn't make him more successful than me. Are you getting the point I'm going to make? I'm not going to learn how to write software just because one small boy is a multi-billionaire counting in dollars. Then people say that you buy your son football. I said, for what? I said, because JJ Okocha is making money. I said, around nonsense. Let my son not read his book. I'll flog him thoroughly. I will buy him football because it's good for children to play. I don't want him to be a footballer. If he turns out to be a good footballer, well, we'll leave it like that. But it is not, you know, and by the time those boys are growing up, nobody's going to pay any Nigerian footballer like that. Things change. I'm not beside the cost anybody, but now so it be. Life, they change. Yes, life changes. Life changes. Life changes. I was analyzing the other day. I said, listen, Bill Gates will soon not be the richest man in the world. Anyway, he's wise. He's already left all those things. Analyze some things. Let me not go into it now. Life changes. Life changes. The point is this. Life changes. And God has set your own time and your season in his hands. Do you get the point I'm making? Imagine that Bill Gates had run to where they were drilling oil because young boys working in oil companies are making a lot of money. And for your information, there are many Bill Gates that went that way. What am I saying? You have a special enablement. You have a special grace. You are not inferior to anybody. I'm telling you how God sees you. He looked at Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, I'm but a youth. He said, forget that one. I will put my word in your mouth. Are you getting my point? Anywhere I tell you to go, go there. Anything I tell you to say, say it. I will make you so strong, anybody that fights against you will fall just because of you. That is when God sees Jeremiah, he doesn't see a small boy who's weak. He sees a man of God called, anointed, known before he was formed, from his mother's womb, called to be a prophet to the nations. That's what God sees. Quickly, let's read this one again. How does God see you? I'm saying that God sees his ability in you. That's what I'm trying to explain. That is, you have the ability of God. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace. Grace is not just a God try for me. No. Grace is God's power walking towards you. Isaiah said it like this, Isaiah chapter 49. Because of my experiences. Now, this is what God made me to be. Let's start from verse 1. So listen to me, O islands, and pay attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, he named me. He has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has concealed me. He has also made me a select arrow. Now, this is what my experience is telling because of time. He said in verse 4, but I said, I have toiled in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. He said, yet surely the justice due to me is with the Lord, and my reward with my God. And now says the Lord, see, this is God's viewpoint of this man. All right? The man said, I have toiled in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. He was seeing himself as what? A failure. A man who tries and does not accomplish. But this was what God said about him. This was what God was seeing in him. He said, and now says the Lord who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him in order that Israel might be gathered to him. That was what I was thinking, that all I was supposed to do. He said in verse 6, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel alone. I will also make you a light to the nations so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Now, let me just stop there. Now, let us read verse 7. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to the despised one, to the one abhorred by the nations, by the nation, to the servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes shall also bow down, because of the Lord who is faithful, because of the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you. He said, in a favorable time I have answered you, in the day of salvation I have helped you. I will keep you and give you for a covenant of the people, to restore the land, to make them inherit the desolate heritages. He said, I have made you a blessing, so blessed that you will be a blessing. I'm just adding that one to qualify what he has said. What am I saying? A man is describing himself as a failure, and God is describing him as something bigger than what he has ever seen. Do you get the point I'm making? Gideon saw himself as a failure, a small man, a hiding man. But God looked at him and said, that is a valiant warrior. A man who will turn around the captivity of Israel. Are you getting the point I'm making? That's how God sees you. That's how he sees me. He says, I have poured the grace into you. The problem, the number of problems. Number one, either the time is not ripe. That's why you've been feeling like a failure. Like Isaiah here was prophesying. Either the time is not ripe. Or two, you are running a race that's not your own. Every car that tries to cross the Atlantic, you know where it's going. Are you getting my point? I have tried to swim. I have tried to float. It's not working. Why should it work? You're not a boat. You're a car. Are you getting my point? Listen, you know, if you fill your heart with this thought that you have the Spirit of Christ in you, you will interpret failure differently. There are those who look at failure that this is a sign that I failed. I'm a failure. Don't ever forget, righteous man fails how many times?
Seven times.
And for information, if you read the scriptures well, if he decides to stay there 70 times, 7 is in just for 24 hours. That's what Jesus said. Are you getting my point? Are you getting my point? I like the way somebody said it. Just because you sleep in a garage doesn't make you a car. Yeah, you can. I've seen people living in garages. They didn't become cars. In the morning, they'll still wake up. Are you getting my point? They lock you in a poultry, doesn't make you chicken. Yeah. Even if they feed you with with feed. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? So experiences don't dictate what you are. That's what I'm not explaining. It doesn't. It can't. What dictates what you are is what God says you are. And I'm telling you what he says about you. He said, you have ability. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Listen. What he says is that, you know, this is what I like to tell students all the time, or anybody, not only students, anybody who's learning anything, you can understand it. Now, listen, that's the starting point. Listen, let me sit there again for a moment. You should never be afraid of book. People say, this book, now human head, you go enter. Say yes. Once it comes out of human head, through human hand onto paper, it can enter my head. Are you getting my point? You know, have you ever seen, you know, deep mathematics? It'd be like this small picking, just scratch, scratch, scratch. And it has meaning. It doesn't intimidate me at all. In fact, it pains me once in a while that I don't give attention. Because when I was in secondary school, those days, I loved mathematics. You understand? I loved it. But of course, the way life went, studied medicine and all of that, I didn't have to do it. So once in a while, I say, it just pains me. I say, medicine, I can know it, no big issue. That is, there's no learning that scares me. Even though I've never learned it before. That's what I'm going to explain. You know why? It's simple. There's what is called the Spirit of Christ. Part of it is the Spirit of Daniel. And when they gave all the learnings of the Chaldeans, all the learning of Babylon, all those learning, you know what happened? They learned it. That is, they came from foreign nations who learned it and were found 10 times better than their classmates. It's a spirit. It's not struggle. You can't force yourself to remember. Are you getting my point? Yes, it's not as if I've made up my mind, I'm going to remember this. If you have forgotten it, you have forgotten. In fact, sometimes you so forget, you don't even know you forgot something. You know, there are kinds of forgetting that you so forget, you are not even aware you forgot something. Daniel didn't struggle. Can you struggle to dream? No, think about it. Can you struggle to dream of the future? There's no method. That's one problem we have these days in Pentecostal preaching. We think there's a key. You press this button, you God will dream you the dream of your future. There's nothing like that. What am I saying? Daniel didn't become, because it's the same grace. Because what God did was that he made Daniel, Ananias, Mishael, and Azariah. He gave all of them intelligence. They were able to understand. They were 10 times better than the other people. They now gave Daniel the ability to interpret dreams. I'm bringing an issue here. All of them are gifts. You get my point? Just that he did not struggle to be able to interpret dreams. He did not struggle to know book. You understand what I'm saying? Therefore, it's not about struggling. It's about accepting. I'm not here to teach you the method of reading by which you will not forget. Read with a bad method. You still won't forget. I didn't hear an amen. Read in Arabic, you will remember. You know, reading from the right to the left. In any language, in whichever method you choose to read, you will remember. Why? It's part of the Spirit of Christ. It's an endowment. And when God sees you, that's what he sees. One of my children that have endowed with the Spirit of Christ, and inside that, the Spirit of Daniel. If you are around on Tuesday, we prayed about these things. If you're not around, get the message, because we know the prayer is recorded just like that, so you can pray with us in your house also. We have to cast down imaginations. And every high thing that exhausts itself against the knowledge of God, what am I going to explain? They will have told me, you were young, say, you don't know anything. I see you, they forget. Anytime you want to, when somebody's talking like this, that voice starts rising up. Say, pastor doesn't understand my situation. That evil voice, I command it to disappear from your ears in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, you have to accept what God says. The spirit of Daniel is your portion. You can understand, you can retain, you can recall. Period. Say amen to that.
Amen.
That's what you need to do. Once you say amen, it enters into you. One day somebody will look at you and say, wait, are you the same person? Like I said on that Tuesday, there are people that have failed 3 times twice to enter university, and they will become renowned professors in this country. Because of the Spirit of Christ. You are getting what I'm saying? Jeremiah said, but the youth God said, shh, zip your mouth. When you were an embryo, you were made a prophet. So your age now, what difference does it make? there was one small boy in Nigeria those days. I wonder where he is now. He used to preach with fire. And when they sent to lay hands on people, they would carry him on the neck. He was a real small boy, 6 years old. And not a joke, once he starts touching people, he's on somebody's neck. So the boy will say, I don't know who's going to carry me. That's it. I'm going to pray for people. Who's going to carry me? Because he was 6 years and he was ministering to adults. That's what God was telling Jeremiah. I anointed you as an embryo. Now that you're a teenager, I never try. Do you follow what I'm saying? What are we doing? We are seeing ourselves the way God sees us. He said you were born not of the will of flesh, but of the will of God. You were born of an incorruptible seed. That is not a bad seed. A seed that cannot be spoiled. You know, I'm emphasizing that. A lot of people believe that intelligence is genetic. I don't care. That's what God is saying. I don't care. And Peter Daniels is our good modern day example. I said before, the cloud of witnesses in Hebrews chapter 11 has not closed yet. You can add to it any day. Peter Daniel was brain stupid. That's what his teacher said. As a boy, he grew up and he failed and failed and failed. And he was always failing. But after he learned by attending the Billy Graham crusade, what God has made him in Christ Jesus. The man, this is the interesting part. After that, he still had a lot of failures. But he just did not accept that he was a failure. All those failures became learning processes. That's all they became. Learning processes. How it will work, how it will not work. Then finally, I mean, I said, this is a man who said, I've forgotten now, I used to quote the figure, but he had read over 3,000 biographies. Reading. This is a man who they say had dyslexia. What is dyslexia? A man may not be able to differentiate between A and E. He's seeing it too. He doesn't know the difference between A and E. Yeah, it's an inherent disorder. But I'm saying whatever it is, there's a problem. He said, even though the body is subject to death because of sin, yet the spirit will give it life because of righteousness.
Amen.
So the brain is subject to dyslexia because of sin. Yet the spirit will give it good understanding because of righteousness. So what happened to the man? He became so good that one day a company paid him $1 million to talk to them for 10 minutes. And in case you think he was just fooling them, they made $100 million from that conversation. That's how God sees you. He doesn't see a failure. Sometimes I look at young boys on the road. Maybe this guy is an organizer. He has a small shop. I said, the problem this child has is that Satan has blocked his brain. That's all. Because he's saying that in his family, you know, that's what the Bible calls hewers of wood and fetchers of water. They are those that in their brain. Sometimes you know these beggars on the road. I want to collect all those children from them. Sometimes, you know, I don't have the powers, but you know, I mean, like government, I just say, okay, I love Americans. If an American down now, no problem. You can beg if you want. They take those children and take them to foster homes. Because you are teaching this child that I'm inferior. It's not what the beggars do to themselves that's my problem. It's what they do to those children. It's quick money. For information, they make a lot of money. They make a lot of money. This is Nigeria. Beggars make money in Nigeria. But it's a problem. Their children will be beggars. They will always be beggars. The beggar can make a million once. A beggar is still a beggar. When a hardworking man is talking, he can never talk. Every little child will talk down at him. Why? Because he's a beggar. Like I said to people, that with all the respect that you have learned from the word of God or from your parents or from your culture, how many beggars have you seen and told good morning? Good morning, sir. You see the man, he's 60 years old. Excuse me. And you're a nice guy. That's what happens to people. So they come to life. They have this mentality. After all, I have gotten a school cert. I don't try. It's in the bottom of their heart. Why? Because in the whole village, nobody has it. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. What God came to do in Christ Jesus is to remove that nonsense barrier from your mind and from mine. That is, we are not satisfied. You know, I told you, contentment and complacency, they are two different things. They may look alike, but they are two totally different things. Complacency is when a man is content in the place of inferiority. He's short of God's glory, but it's okay with him. God has made him a prophet to the nations. He preaches only to his immediate family and is happy. After all, somebody's listening to me. Finally, you are getting what I'm going to explain. There are many people, listen, the reason why they won't do well in life is because of the job, a good job that they have today. It locks them in. They start, he had never seen 150,000 naira in a month. He has never seen it before or heard of it. Now it's his portion. What he doesn't ask himself is who's paying the money? He's not a human being, not a spirit. And the man who's paying it to him, he's paying him as one of the junior people. He's also paying it to bigger people. That is paying much more to bigger people. Been begging and begging and begging. God, I want a job. I want a job. Me too. I hear my friends. I get 200,000 a month. What's this all? Stop insulting me. But why can't be quiet? In the acceptable year when I will answer this prayer, you will pay your driver that amount of money. Because you wonder, how can a man survive on lower than that? That's what Christ is doing for us. In him was life, and that life was the light of men.